You're listening to Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. The guy who brought you three-buck chuck and lots of terrific affordable food now wants to bring you expired or near-expired healthy food to a supermarket in Dorchester at reduced prices. Joining us, former president of Trader Joe, the CEO of Conscious Capitalism, and the man behind what he calls the Urban Food Initiative. Welcome, Doug Rao.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Good to see you.
So what exactly are you doing with this expired food in Dorchester?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me just say I'm uncomfortable with the word expired.
Okay.
Because, you know, the only things expired are usually dead. And so I'm not looking for expired food.
Okay. Here's
the thing most people don't understand. Most people don't understand is that code dates on product are not federally mandated. Only infant formula is. Manufacturers and retailers put these dates on. And so when you see a sell-by date or a best-by date, mm-hmm. that is not the day in which that food ceases to exist as a nutritionally good source of food. So the problem
is it? Is it an attempt by the seller to have you throw out stuff quickly so you have to buy new
that.
Stuff
it's,
to replace
it? So you can rotate product, and also it's to pretend, you know, basically allow for the grocer and the manufacturer to have good rotation, make sure that there's a very conservative window of use. To be extra safe.
I got it.
And so what happens is you've got all this, you've got 5.3 billion pounds at just supermarket level every year of food that's perfectly good. So we're talking about good food, food that you or I would be happy to pay full price for an hour earlier that is, you know, at its sell-by date, not its use-by date. That's a very important distinction. So there's a window here. And the window of opportunity is about 5 to 10 days, depending upon the product, before something.
Wow. Like yogurt or milk?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yogurt. It's like, well, first of all, if you have bread at home,
yep.
unless you bought it yesterday, it's probably out of code. And you don't feel bad eating it because you know that, hey, as long as there's not a spot
moldy,
of mold on
exactly.
it.
Moldy, exactly.
Right.
And cheese and everything else.
But you can tell, Doug, that's the difference. You can look at a piece of bread.
Right.
And if it's not greenish, you know it's a pretty good opportunity
right.
to continue to eat it. How do you know on meat, for example, if it
yeah.
isn't moldy? How do you know on any product unless you stick your nose in it or something like that?
Well, let me ask you this. You bought a product at any grocer. Of course, it was Trader Joe's, but you know, maybe it even was a Stop and Shop or a Whole
yeah.
Foods. And it was a sell-by. You get home. It's 2 days later. What do?
I'm embarrassed to say I actually usually sell it, throw it out.
Just because of
what
sell-by.
What are you talking
I know
about?
I'm totally
no,
serious.
No. What you do is, I've known this man for a long time.
Yeah, what do you
say? What he does is he smells everything.
Oh, that is what I do. I open and stick my nose in.
You are a smart man.
That
yeah,
is true. I stick my nose in.
But he smells it, and
nope,
then he hands
right
it to me.
Is that it's the smell test is
Absolutely.
The key?
Yeah. Here's the key. First of all, wonderful NPR did a news article December 26th called Expired Foods Are Safe. And I recommend any listener to go back if they want to Google it and see it and listen and read it. And basically it says the same thing I'm talking about here, which is it turns out in the last number of years, not a single case has happened where someone got sick or died from eating expired food.
Is that really true?
That's really true. Here's the things that make you sick, E. coli,
yes.
salmonella, that has nothing to do with expiration dates. Next thing is we're designed genetically, we survived as a species because we're really good at sensing when food goes bad. When food goes bad, the type of bad that occurs over time with expiration, our senses pick up on really easily.
So what's your game plan?
By the way, so the game plan here is not to sell food at the edge that's like, but to take advantage of that food that at the sell-by date is really good and has a long window, and take that and offer that as affordable nutrition to people that are struggling. There's 50 million people in America.
So what do you buy it from supermarkets by that sell-by date and then you transfer it theoretically to this Urban Food Initiative thing of yours? How do you get it?
It's much better than that.
How do you do it?
What you get right now is that food's being thrown in the trash. It's becoming an ecological disaster. It's a landfill issue. 25% of all the potable water in America is spent growing food we throw out. 40% of everything grown in America is never consumed. 40.
40%?
40%. This is USDA statistics, verified.
Is that mostly from people throwing it out in their individual homes
or
from supermarkets?
It's the whole stream. Much of it occurs at home and also in the field in manufacturing because perfect's the enemy of the good. We all want that perfect apple, that absolutely straight carrot, et cetera. It doesn't grow that way in nature. So they leave it on the field to rot.
With little
bumps. So what are you going to be doing? Standing outside by the dump behind Whole Foods? With like a truck?
Now,
how does this work, Doug?
Now,
I can't see that happening
for
a president of Trader Joe's.
Is that where we've met before? Anyway, no.
Dumpster
here's the deal.
So what do you do?
Here's the deal. The government, in its infinite wisdom, this turns out to be really actually one of the really good tax incentives, mm-hmm. is that years ago it created a tax credit for grocers. if they take food that would have gone into the dumpster that's good and give it to a 501c3, a nonprofit,
yeah,
like Greater Boston Food Bank or Urban Food Initiative, they get to recover then up to 50% of their lost margin, the difference between the cost and what they sold it for. This turns out to be millions of dollars a year. So grocers love to have this product recovered because it actually helps their bottom line. So the idea is you go around and you get it as a donation for free. Now, Urban Food Initiative is a nonprofit because if you're not a nonprofit, grocers don't get the credit.
So that's your deal, is the Urban Food Initiative. That's you.
I wanted to say, if anybody just want to call in, our number is at 877-301-8970. If you'd like to talk to Doug Rowe, who used to run, Rowe, who used to run, it's a very confusing way to spell the name that's supposed to be pronounced.
Yeah, it's a good German name. They dropped the CH.
Okay. He used to run Trader Joe's and now has got this great idea for using food that has gotten to its sell-by date, correct? Not the expired date, the sell-by date, and reusing it for people. The issue here, I assume, is because really fresh food in a lot of markets anywhere is pretty expensive, and this is an economic opportunity for people that don't have a lot of money.
You hit the nail on the head. Here's the problem. The problem is when you look at why do 50 million Americans struggle and are food insecure and actually are having a hard time? Why is there, you know, juvenile diabetes and heart disease and obesity skyrocketing in America? And it turns out because we have an entire food policy, starting with the Farm Bill on up, that's really designed around creating cheap calories, not cheap nutrients.
Right.
So what happens is when you tell people, hey, you gotta eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, economically, people that are in the lower strata, they can't afford it because those nutrients are expensive. There's a wonderful movie, a documentary that's coming out today, not that I'm plugging it, but it's called Place at the Table. And it is on hunger in America. It's done by Participant Media, people that did, you know, Inconvenient Truth and Food Inc. and all that. And it will open the eyes to what hunger in America really is like. And one of the things they bring up, and this is right to your point, $3 a day for dinner, average struggling food insecure family has. You go into the average grocery store and you can buy 340 calories worth of fruits and vegetables. Same $3, you can buy 3,700 calories of soda, chips, and crackers. Now you get kids to feed, what are you going to do?
That's why I couldn't fit through doorways when I was a child, Doug. So our number is 877-301-8970. Yeah, you have to change your mindset. And I want to know, for people listening, are you prepared? Because we're all, I think, despite what Doug knows and I didn't know, when you see that sell-by date, which we used to call an expiration date, your mindset is, I don't think so. I can't do that. Are you prepared, and you save some dough, are you prepared to buy into something like this,
Jim,
if this guy gets his way?
We should find out about hamburger. I think that's a concern of a lot of us. You know, you have the hamburger in the refrigerator.
Smell.
Well, it goes from being really red to being brown. But then you break it open, and inside it's still red. So I assume that means, I mean, how do you know about the hamburger?
Well,
it's hard to smell bad hamburger.
Well, hamburger is one of the trickiest of all
very
foods.
Very tricky.
Very, very tricky. And that's why the state doesn't allow you to actually take that and distribute it unless it's frozen, which is smart.
Oh, okay.
So first of all, meat you got to be very, very careful with. When you're dealing with dairy and produce and things like that, you don't have to be as careful. The other side, I just want to mention this, just to be really clear. Urban Food Initiative is not just simply about taking, quote, sell-by or expired date. It's about taking all the other stuff that's cosmetically imperfect that's out there in both in growers and manufacturers and stuff, but nutritionally sound. You know, the apple with a little scar on it, a little bruise that otherwise, you know, we'd never buy at a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's. You pick the apple that's perfect, right? And so you end up with all this product.
You know, I just want to ask you one question since you have been I don't know if you call it. What do you call Trader Joe's a supermarket?
Retail, grocer.
Jim Browdy has said to me for many years that there's a thing that a lot of men do with hamburger.
Oh, don't get into this.
This is a very common male thing. And I just wanted to ask you, he has done this for many years.
No, I did it when I was a child.
It's wrapped in the cellophane, and that it's a very male thing to go through stores and put their finger through the cellophane and the hamburger. What do you think about that, Doug?
Did you do that when you were younger? Tell the truth, Doug.
I honestly don't remember that. I'm sure I did a lot of other things, but I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to confess.
Yeah.
And
out to you. 877-30. I can't. It's a reflex.
301. It's nauseating. It's disgusting.
970. 877-301-8970. Can the mindset change? And I want to ask you in a minute how you change the mindset. Kate, you're in Salem, and you're on with Doug Rowe from the Urban Food Initiative. Hey, Kate.
Hi. I just was thinking about all of the wonderful childhood memories I had of my father taking me to Haymarket, where the vendors would always have huge tables of produce. And at the end of the day, anything that wasn't sold, they didn't want to take it back, so they would leave it out. And people could help themselves. And, in fact, a lot of people who did help themselves were lower income, and some of them homeless, could come and take some oranges, apples, and things like that. I think one of the worst nightmare experiences of my life was going back years later and seeing that the city no longer allowed them to do that. And they were forced to take gallons of bleach and dump it over the produce at the end of the day so that it would not be palatable. I don't know if anybody else recalls that, but it just seemed like enormous waste. And as you're saying, it's not like it's meat, you know, or something that could be dangerous to eat, but, you know, an orange, an apple, something that could be peeled, you would think that they would, you
totally
know,
right.
allow
That's
people.
Doug Rao is shaking his head up and down and agreeing with you. Kate, thanks for a great call.
Thank you, Kate.
Certainly.
But there is a mindset. What I said, Doug, a minute ago, it seems to me what you have to deal with most and is the mindset that people like us have.
Or the public relations
Which is that
angle.
Sell-by means you shouldn't open it and put And Marjorie's right. I usually do the smell test kind of thing. So how how do you change the mindset? Is it economics? How do you change the mindset?
Well, first of all, most of this product will come in. Will come back to a commissary kitchen in the back of the store, and it'll be cooked up fresh into you know, something that's lower in salt, lower in fat, lower in cholesterol, et cetera, will be offered as ready to grab and go, you know, ready to eat meals. That'll be priced competitive with fast food. That's the whole idea. Right now, we're asking people to do an economic penalty to eat better. So what happens if we instead get this food that is perfectly good, but is going to go to a landfill, use that problem to solve another problem of can we provide ready to eat meals, grab and go, kind of what I call speed scratch cooking, you know, which Trader Joe's does a lot of. Opportunities that are economically not a penalty. They're agnostic to fast food.
Well, you know, one of the things about the obesity thing, too, is I think it's not just that the pricing of the food. It's the convenience of the food.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's working now. Mom comes home at 6:30. She's got two kids, three kids. It takes for – you're going to cook dinner every night. You won't eat till 8:30.
Well, and that's one of the big problems, as you know, with the food stamp SNAP program today. Is it was designed in the 60s and has not adapted to the fact that it doesn't allow you to buy a rotisserie chicken or a prepared salad or something like that, but it will allow you to buy Coke and Doritos.
Before I get back to the calls, I want to ask a question on behalf of my child who is not listening, and I'll quote you if you give the right answer. When you have like a chunk of cheese in your refrigerator, I know this doesn't fall exactly within what you're talking about, but it's close, and there's a little green thing on the corner. My thesis is this, and please corroborate it. When you cut the green thing off and throw it out, as long as there's no more green stuff on it, it is pretty, I'm getting perfectly fine.
Absolutely right.
Okay, if I need her to call you, she can call you directly?
Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones. Carol and Attleboro, you're on with Doug Rao from the Urban Food Initiative. Hey, Carol.
Hi, I've been known to cut a little green off the cheese. My mother, who's 91 years old, has been doing this for years, and we eat very well. I happen to be a vegetarian, as is my husband. But she will go to the grocery store and look in the markdown vegetables and come back with a load of wonderful vegetables and fruit and make the best food. And, you know, her thing is it's still very firm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. She'll just cut around if something's bruised. And I just have to say that she's, you know, everyone knows she's got a great reputation for the food she makes. So I think this has been going on for a long time, and we're living proof that we're doing very well by it.
She has her personal urban food initiative.
Yeah.
Hey, Carol, that's great. Send our best to your mom.
Doug, I will. Thank you.
Thanks.
What about the public relations aspect here, the idea that this is, as someone wrote one of these stories about this, rich man's garbage.
Yeah.
You know, how do you deal with that?
Well, that's a tough one because right away it starts from, it's kind of like when do you stop beating your wife? And so, first of all, it's not trash.
Yep.
I'm not interested, neither would anybody else I know in the food industry be interested in selling trash to anybody. Second, if the rich people in Newton, Brookline, et cetera, had a need for this, I'd be happy to open a store there and do the same thing. So what this is really about is taking care of the fact that we've got a pressing social challenge to us. We got a healthcare tsunami that's going to hit us as a country from obesity, from diabetes and heart disease caused by cheap calories and no nutrients, by really poor nutrition. And so if you can get something down there to try to provide a healthy alternative, then I think it's worth doing.
So
it's not about taking what rich men don't want because, after all, an hour earlier, they're buying this for full price at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, et cetera.
Let's go to Bourne, where Paul is on the phone on Boston Public Radio with Doug Rao from the Urban Food Initiative. Good morning. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, how you doing? I think it's a phenomenal idea, and I thank you for doing it. And I have two kind of questions, one of which is kind of related to a story. My wife went through a pastry arts program at a local university, and they used to bake up all sorts of stuff, breads, et cetera. And then for a while, they were donating it to shelters. And then the lawyers got into it, and they ended up dumping it in the trash because they had liabilities, which is a shame. And I'm wondering, you know, what is your take on the legal aspects? And then the other question is, do you have an educational piece to accompany this to help people change their
Two great questions.
Yeah, they are.
Two great questions. Thank you, Paul.
Well, first of all, thank you, Dan Glickman, Secretary of Agriculture for 8 years. He put in the Good Samaritan Act, which protects nonprofits and businesses if they're trying to do right and they're trying to do good, and they don't actually knowingly or there's not any, you know, any negligence on their part.
That's before he went to the film industry to do bad, by
exactly.
the way. I just want to be clear.
Which he then left again, and he's off doing whatever, his Mercy Corps or something.
Okay,
so,
whatever.
But anyway, he did that, and it's a lasting legacy. And so before I got involved with this, Harvard Law professor and several students did a semester study to make sure that all the laws, both here in Massachusetts, and I wanted to also talk about Detroit, Michigan, and New York. And it turns out absolutely legal, and you are protected under the Good Samaritan Act. So that's the legal side. So that, first of all, I go back to that bread that was that the lawyers got involved. They should have gone ahead and been able to. They were protected. So the next part is the education. Really a key question, which is, to me, the big difference with being able to do retail. Retail allows you to nudge and educate people. So we're going to have test kitchens, you know, for training and cooking, demo stations like they do at Trader Joe's, so that you're able to try food and you're able to, like, give kids after school and mothers ways to cook, like how to prepare tasty meals that are nutritious, quickly and cheap.
So how close to reality is this? We all read the Globe story the other day. Are you close to making this happen? You're talking 10,000 square feet potentially over in Dorchester. Where is this?
Well, where this is we're in funding, and we're trying to get the funding up. Retail's expensive. It's not a push cart or a mobile van, because those things all come and go, and then they're not there when you need them when you get off the T or the bus at night. Retail costs money. It's brick and mortar along with kitchens. So we're about halfway where we need to be on the funding, but we're getting a lot of momentum, and a number of really nice foundations that we've all heard of have stepped up and have said they're interested. So I'm hoping that by the end of this year, it'll be a reality. And so we're very far along in a partnership with Common Square Health Center, which does wonderful work down in Dorchester, and along with another of the things. I sit, the Nutrition Roundtable at Harvard School of Public Health, and a lot of interest in nutrition and, you know, obviously getting good food.
Last question for me, Doug. Why did it take so long for people like you to do this thing? People, I can't think of the name of the guy. We spoke to him recently, and my apologies. The guy from Panera.
Ron Shake, great guy.
Right, he was with us a couple of weeks ago, who's doing the, Panera Cares, where you can pay whatever you want.
Great guy.
It's, when you hear these things, there's so obviously a need. Why did it take till 2013 for the need to start being filled?
First I had to retire.
Good answer. I won't ask any more questions. That's
okay.
Good enough.
He's Doug Rao, got it right. Former president of Trader Joe's. I think you also invented the two-buck chuck, didn't you?
Is that it wasn't mine.
Oh, that wasn't yours. Well, that's okay. He is also the founder of the Urban Food Initiative and CEO of Conscious Capitalism. Thank you so much for being with us.
Great to see you today. Next time you tell us about the 10-second rule. Is that okay?
You got it.
Okay, fine. We'll have you back.
Next up, lots of us are organ donors, but few of us have considered donating our face. Coming up on Boston Public Radio, Brigham and Women's has just done another face transplant, and we're going to talk about donorship and the many other ethical issues involved. We'll have that conversation next on WGBH 89.7.